Invite you to stand as you are able for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Just a word of encouragement. Brad, you did the right thing. Mr. Jones, you did the right thing by reading what was in front of you. That text from Joshua is a great text, and it's one we needed to hear this morning, and every morning we need to. That's what faith is, right? It's choosing this day whom we will serve. As Bob Dylan said, you've got to serve somebody. And so each and every day we've got to choose which God it is that we will serve. But I would encourage you to read that book or that chapter from Amos too, because it's a hard one to hear, but it's God's call through the prophet to return to God when we make those wrong choices, sometimes to follow other gods or to serve other gods. We need to have that call back. And certainly Amos does that as well as Joshua. So sometimes I think the Spirit comes in at night and changes the readings for us and gives us what we need to hear. I wish he would have changed this text from Matthew, because I really don't like this parable. I tell you what, Matthew has some tough parables that we have to get our head around, and sometimes that's difficult to do, even with a week's worth of preparation. But one thing to understand as we're interpreting Matthew's gospel is that we've always got to go back to the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7. It's the only sermon that Jesus ever preached, and it seems, according to Matthew, it was the only one he ever needed to preach, because all things that flow through the gospel of Matthew really hinge on that Sermon of the Mount in chapters 5 through 7. So I'd encourage you to read that over and over again in your life. Now, I can't imagine that the parables of chapter 25 are anyone's favorite parables. This week we have the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, 5 wise, 5 foolish. Next week we will hear the story of the master who is going on a journey, and he gives to his servants 1 10 talents, 1 5, and 1 1 talents, and he commands them to invest those talents. Some do well, one does nothing. And we hear a harsh word. And then the third week from now, the last Sunday of the church year, we will hear the story of the separation of the goats and the sheep. Again, a tough parable to hear. But for now, we'll stick with today's parable, the 10 bridesmaids. And there is plenty not to like in this parable. If the bridegroom indeed is Jesus, which I believe he is, and his return is represented by the coming of the bridegroom. We do not like his delay. We don't like to wait. If this week has taught us anything, it's that we do not like delays and we do not like waiting. Another thing not to like in this parable is the uncertainty of the hour when the bridegroom will come. It seems unfair. Just tell us when he's coming and we'll be ready. But Jesus says, not the angels, not even the Son knows when he will return, but it is only known by the Father. And so we must be ready at all times. Another thing we don't like is that the wise bridesmaids won't share their oil with the foolish. And we have to wonder, what is that about? That doesn't even seem Christian. What is Jesus trying to teach us? And another thing that I don't like, and I'm guessing you don't either, is that all of those who, even those who come late and call out, Lord, Lord, are not let into the banquet hall. Again, we hear other parables that seem to say that even those who come to work in the vineyard late get the same pay as those who came early in the day. So what is Jesus trying to teach us now with this parable? Again, I don't know about you, but I'd much prefer a happy homecoming of a prodigal son or a parable about good deeds of an enemy to heal and care for an injured man who was left alongside of the road. Of course, the parables of the prodigal son and the good Samaritan. But when it comes to Jesus, we don't always get our preference, do we? Jesus teaches us what he knows we need to hear. And so we walk into this parable together. Trusting, we do that trusting that Jesus will teach us what we need to learn. So these three parables of chapter 25 are parables told by Jesus about the coming of the kingdom, a kingdom only he knows and only he can illuminate. And it's important for us to work hard to get our head around these parables. It's quickly apparent how this parable connects to the Sermon on the Mount, which again is what I started with. All of these parables flow from the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." It's the verse that we read each time we baptize a little one and place that candle into the hands of parents and sponsors and say, "Tell them, teach them about the day of their baptism." And then, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You and I are called to be lamps. We're called to be lamps that reveal and illumine God, and illumine God's kingdom of love and sacrifice. Also, towards the end of the sermon in chapter 7, again going back to the Sermon on the Mount, starting at verse 17, Jesus says, after talking about judgment, he says, "A good tree bears good fruit, a bad tree bears bad fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Now, while we don't like these words any better the second time around than we liked them the first time around in chapter 7, Jesus indeed speaks them a second time, heightening the necessity for us as followers of Jesus to let those words sink in, to let those words transform our thoughts and our behaviors. So let's unpack the story around those words. It's pretty simple. 10 bridesmaids all go out to meet the bridegroom. Their job was to illumine the path. Their job was to illumine the glory of the bridegroom. All take their lamps. 5 take extra flasks of oil, and 5 take no extra oil at all. The bridegroom is delayed. All 10 fall asleep while they're waiting. All are awakened at the cry of the bridegroom's arrival, but only 5 have oil to keep their lamp burning. A lamp without oil is nothing more than a clay vessel. It's worthless for light. A lamp without oil is worthless. You are to let your light shine. You are to be a burning lamp that gives light to the world around you. So my question to you, as was the question to me from this text, is what fills you? If you are that clay pot that is meant to give light, to illumine God and God's kingdom of love and service, what fills you? It's kind of the question that we get faced with in Joshua. Which God will you serve? On which God will you depend for power to light your lamp, so that you can do work that glorifies that God? So what fills you and what empowers you to be the lamp that God calls you to be? When we ask that question, there's only one answer. There's only one answer that holds any weight. And that answer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is fuel for our God light. As those bridesmaids awaken, 5 have fuel. And 5 say, "Give us some of your oil." And the other 5 say, "Sorry, if we do that, there won't be enough for you and for me. You better go buy some." And here's where we encounter the absurdity of this parable. "Give us some of your spirit," they say. Spirit is not ours to give. I can't give you my spirit any more than you can give me your spirit. I wrote a newsletter article for, I don't remember which congregation I was in, but it was titled, When Grandma's Faith Is Not Enough. And it was a story that kind of started out of parents bringing their children to baptism, and I realized that oftentimes it wasn't necessarily the faith of the parents that was bringing those children to baptism, but it was the faith of grandma who was pushing them to bring that child to baptism. And so I was just kind of fussing with that in this article about, when will your faith become your own? When will you claim that for your own instead of depending on grandmother's faith to move you forward? When will you start claiming that faith as your own? When will you call upon the Spirit of God to fill you rather than the spirit of grandma or the spirit of somebody else? Because their spirit cannot do that for you, only you. In relationship with God, can be filled by the Holy Spirit. You better go buy some at the dealer, the 5 wise say. Well, they're maybe not so wise, because again, we see at the absurdity of their suggestion. You can't buy the spirit at a dealer. It'd be great if we had a service station for the Spirit, wouldn't it?
You would all go there instead of coming to communion after worship. You'd go to the filling station for the Spirit. But we have that. It is called Holy Communion. Feasting at the table of Jesus, taking his life into our bodies so that we have fuel to be the light that God calls us to be. And there's nothing that you can use to pay for that Spirit with. It comes to you by being in relationship with Jesus and the Father. That's the good news that lies behind this text, is that you have that Spirit. It was poured out upon you in holy baptism. It cost you nothing, but it cost Jesus everything. You have it. It's been given to you. It's been given to you to sustain you and to fuel you to be the light that God is calling you to be. Please don't forget to pack it for your daily journeys, because you will need that fuel of the Spirit to burn for Jesus, to burn brightly for the Lord. Martin Luther, I said this a couple weeks ago in a sermon, I believe, but I was working with our confirmation students about kind of teaching them about Martin Luther's two kingdoms theory. And in that, he says that it's the work of the Christian living in the world, the kingdom of the world, to project light into the world. And that is exactly what Jesus is teaching us to do in this parable, to project not our own light, but God's light into the world. Light is connected with life. Light is connected with vision. It is connected with hope. It's connected with glorification. If you ever walk into a jewelry store, what do they have in their counters that display their jewelry? They have the light intricately placed so that those jewels shine at their brightest. God's word calls for you and me to abide in the light of Jesus Christ, so that when his light hits our lives, we reflect that light to a world around us. A world that doesn't have vision, a world that doesn't have hope, a world that doesn't understand why we glorify God, and a world that needs to see the true God, the God of life and abundance, the God of inclusion and blessing, the God of forgiveness and healing. It's why we were created, to reflect the goodness of God into the world around us. Friends, you have what you need. The Holy Spirit is not withheld from anyone who asks for it. And the Holy Spirit empowers you and me to love those who love us, and it empowers us to love even those who don't. It empowers us to forgive not 3 times or 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. It empowers us to bless those who curse us, to welcome home a wayward child, to stop and help a stranger who is in need of help, who has been beaten up by life and has been left for dead, hopeless, along the side of the road, to work with opponents for the good of others and for the good of all. And that Spirit empowers you and me to actively await the true light that is coming into the world, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let all God's people say, Amen.